So unless there's any objection, I'm going to, since we have a number of guests waiting on the line for item six, I'm going to take item six out of order and defer item five until after item six. So item six, consider and take possible action regarding East Contra Costa Fire Protection District's request to depool cost center group number eight. So I've asked that Siegel limit their presentation, as we just had this item on our last agenda. So this will just be a brief summary for those on the line who were not present during the previous discussion. So Andy, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andy Young, representing Siegel. In front of you is basically the same presentation as the board chair has indicated. At that point, I presented only 2 weeks ago. In front of you is the decision or the request from East Fire to be depooled from rate group number eight. Now, I can put the slides on the screen, but in the interest of time, I'll just summarize very briefly. With the depooling request, there is going to be a need to do a separate evaluation of both the liability based on the membership demographics and the assets for the plan. So doing an evaluation based on the membership demographics, no problems, because we always know at any point in time who are the members with each of the East Fire and Con Fire. So that is not a problem at all. However, in order to do evaluation, and in particular to determine the unfunded actuarial accrued liability or the UAAL contribution rate, there's a need to identify the amount of assets that is available for the evaluation. So there are really two methods that have been used by the board in the past when you have to make similar decisions. Back in 2009, you used a so-called payroll methodology. So if that methodology were to be used today in doing the depool calculations, it would have very little impact on the UAAL contribution rate. The normal cost rate would be slightly different because it would be determined based on the demographics of the two employers. However, in front of you today is the request from East Fire to depool based on the actuarial accrued liability method. So if we were to do that, it would produce a contribution rate difference, especially on the UAL, of well over 30% of payroll, which is about $1 to $1.5 million. So I think in the packet, we do have the reasons why the two methods would produce different sets of assets and therefore contribution rate requirements. I think with that, I would just ask the chair if there's anything else or any other members of the board that you would like me to cover, because like I said, I'm using the same PowerPoint presentation that Paul and I used only 2 weeks ago. There's really no new information that we are bringing forward to today's discussion.
Okay, I'll just ask you obviously to stay on the line and be available for trustee questions or comments. We do have agendized that there will be comments from East Fire and Con Fire. I'm going to defer those to the end of our discussion so that their final comments could be tailored based on the questions and discussion that the board has. So with that, I'm going to, Candace, yes.
I do have a question, and I don't know on GoToMeeting what the function is to raise your hand virtually. Thus, I'm raising my hand manually. Does someone know how to do it virtually? And that's not my question, but I do want to know that.
I know we have that capability in Microsoft Teams. I'm not sure if we have it here other than you can.
Okay, well regardless. So my question is sort of is a theoretical question because, and again, I'm wearing my Sicera hat today, even though I chair the Con Fire Board of Directors as well as the Board of Supervisors. But over the years, we've talked about consolidation of Con Fire with Con Fire. It's never quite complete. But theoretically, if we were to go ahead and go our separate ways, but down the road, a few years from now, decide to consolidate into one agency, would what we're doing now with depooling have any negative ramifications? Would it impact either agency's ultimate liability or create any issues? And so that's what I'm trying to understand. If if this were to happen down the road, would what we're doing today have any impact? And so this is kind of directed at Andy, if you're able to.
Andy,
can I ask that everyone who's not speaking, please mute their microphones? Yes, thank you. And there's two callers that I can see that are not muted. So if possible, mute so we limit the feedback. With that, Andy, please continue.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The short answer is no. If the two employers were to be depooled, the board make the decision to depool the employers, and then later on, it was necessary to put them back together. I think the contribution rate for the two systems combined will basically be the same. There's really no new liabilities that would be created because after all, as Paul and I mentioned to the board based on the question last time, in totality, even though if the board were to depool based on the methodology requested by eSpire, which is the payroll methodology, even though the eSpire contribution rate would go down, and there would be an increase in the Confi contribution rate, but the increase in the eSpire rate would, in dollar terms anyway, would be exactly equal to how much the board would be asking Confi to pay. So in totality, we are really not asking the two employers combined to contribute anything more and anything less than what they are contributing right now. So we would expect, let's say, 5-10 years or whenever down the road, the two employees decided to shake hands to get back together again, one employer. Really, at that point in time, we would have the same amount of assets that we would have if there were to be no depooling decision made by the board today. So, summarize, really no adverse or favorable impact as a result of the depooling decision today.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
I'm going to raise my hand one more time. This isn't so much for our consultants here, for our actuaries, but it's really, I want to better understand at some point, you know, hear from Chief Helmick a little bit more about what would be done with this money. You know, if we were to go with a more favorable approach of the sort of UAL approach rather than the payroll approach, how would that benefit their organization? Would it just sort of filter into payroll, business as usual, or would it add a whole new level of service? And I realize this is a little bit beyond the scope of what we're looking at with regard to Cesera's position, but it would be helpful for me to better understand of what would that additional revenue do as far as staffing a new station, something like that.
Any other questions or discussion? We'll ask that the chief, you know, we'll ask if the chief wants to address that in his statement. So, is there no discussion? Does no one want to state a position or any thoughts on this?
So let me chime in if I may, and go back to the first of Candace's questions, not the second one, and that is, if we were to adopt the eSpire method using liabilities as opposed to payroll, their cost is going to go down now. If we go back and recombine them 5 years down the road, I think that was the question, would that have any impact? It certainly would on both eSpire and Confire, and the eSpires would go back up given the current ratios that we've looked at, payroll ratios, and the Confires would go back down. So yes, it would have an impact if that scenario were to play out.
This is Rusty, I have a comment. Just to clarify, Candace, you meant that they were rejoined would most likely be under a consolidation of the two as one agency. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, you know, it's something that comes up. It's come up several times since in the last 8 years since I've been here. We explore it. It hasn't penciled out, but it does resurge, particularly as we look at the funding issues that East County continues to face, whether or not it makes sense for them to continue as they are. And so while there's nothing pending, I could see that in the future, if, for example, I know there are certain initiatives that East County Fire is looking at besides reducing their pension contribution, but with regard to creating whether it be the county sales tax that's on the ballot or whether it's creating a benefit district, a benefit assessment district out there, if some of those measures fail, there may be a day where we need to have those discussions again in order to provide adequate fire service out there. So again, not on the table today. Someday it could be there, and I just want to make sure that if that day comes, it's not going to have a significant detrimental effect on either agency if we are moving forward with this depooling, or at least we know what that negative impact is going to be. And Siegel saying right now it's neutral. John saying, well, East County would potentially have that additional payment that would be coming in. They would, on their side of the ledger, so to speak, there would be that additional payment. So that's really where I'm coming from on this. It's a very theoretical discussion, but it's not outside the realm of serious possibility.
Todd? Yes.
If I might, I think I'm hearing two different scenarios here, which is fine. The question that John, I think, is attempting to clarify by saying the cost would change is the scenario that East Bay or East County comes back in as part of the pool, but is not necessarily taken over by Confire. Candace's scenario, I hear, is basically they would become part of Confire under her scenario, which is different than I think John was describing, in which case you wouldn't have an increased cost for East County because they would be part of Confire. Am I right? The greater
that's certainly correct if that's what Candace meant, that we would have a single fire agency rather than two.
That's a possibility.
Right. Yeah. I was talking single fire agency rather than not a depooling. I was just talking about if in fact Confire East County Fire someday said, okay, we are going to bring you into the fold into our larger consolidated fire, what would that look like? So no, right. I wasn't about repooling. I think that's kind of off the table, and East County Fire has already said they would be happy to acknowledge they wouldn't request a repooling within 5 years. So no, I'm not talking about pooling, just
right. Whether my only concern was that John, I think with respectfully, John, your scenario was that it would be repooled.
Yes, now that I understand the question, Andy is absolutely right.
So, Will, go ahead.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I'm prepared to make a motion. I don't want to preempt any further information from either East County or Confire, but I'm certainly prepared at this point, and I appreciated the additional time to look over the materials. I'm prepared to make a motion today. And if procedurally that's appropriate to get something on the table, I'm happy to do that.
Scott, my preference would be, since we did agendize, that there could be brief comments from the fire agencies, and I need to check and see if there's any comments from the public. My preference would be to fulfill those items and then entertain a motion.
Okay. So be it.
Great. Just so, Will, did you have comments to make?
Yeah, a couple questions and a couple comments. Remind me again, what was the background back in the day? What inspired depooling back in 2009? Was it, because I guess it was not from the previous presentation, it was not requested by any employer, but it was enacted by CICERA. But what was the background? I mean, it doesn't just happen. Does anyone know the historical institutional knowledge on that?
I'll defer to our senior trustee in terms of seniority, not age, Jerry Holcomb.
I may qualify in both aspects. I don't know. Briefly, Will, it was the recognition at that point that the county was subsidizing most of the smaller districts or anything smaller than they were. And the board at that time felt that that was putting an undue burden on the county and felt that those groups and the pool groups, if that was necessary, should have to stand on their own as opposed to being subsidized by the county.
Thank you. In years past, how many employers have requested to be either depooled or repooled in history?
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. To Andy, is there any significant event that East Contra Costa could suffer if they were depooled into their own cost group, such as a shift in number of employees or potentially some other event that could cause East Contra Costa to have a significant change in terms of their contribution rate if they were standing on their own? And then how significant could that be?
I think some of the events that we talk about, one of the reasons why Paul and I addressed the pooling question in the first place is it's just like an insurance contract. Sometimes, like automobile insurance, we'd like to be put drivers into a larger pool. So that way, if there were to be one accident incurred by one of the drivers, that a policyholder won't be charged a substantial amount of rate by the insurance company. So I think by having the pooling arrangement, it's very similar to that. We just like different employers, especially small employers, to have the benefit of the rate stability associated with a larger employer. So now to address the question as to what kind of events could take place, I think we always say if, particularly for a safety group, if a significant number of members were active members were to become disabled while they're on duty, then that could cause an increase in the contribution rate requirements because the members are now retiring much sooner rather than later. I think the other possibility is that because East Fire has a payroll of about $3 million, so when we determine the contribution rate to pay off the unfunded liability, any amount of unfunded liability that we calculate or payments anyway is expressed as a percentage of payroll. So being a small employer, they might be more suspect to variations in payroll from one year to the next. So for example, if for whatever reason, budgetary constraints, the payroll for the district, and again, this is totally hypothetical on my part, if any of the payroll for the fire district were to come down from say $3 million to let's say hypothetical $2 million for whatever reason, then that could cause a spike in the unfunded liability contribution because we'll be taking the contribution payments that we would recommend to the board and divide that by, in this case, a payroll which is much smaller. So it could be outside forces such as more disabilities. It could be as a result of inside forces such as the district just have to meet a tight budget requirement. So those are some of the examples, but it's very difficult to tell ahead of time what the high contribution might be because definitely we don't have any control over the experience for that smaller group as well as the budget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Andy. And Mr. Sheriff, if the fire chief with East Contra Costa, Chief Helmick, could address that. I know he's addressed it in a response letter to the last presentation, but if he could speak to more about the stability, you know, in terms of how they would handle such an event like that with the volatility of being on their own. I think he mentioned that there was a pension stabilization fund that they have. So just in terms of comment on this, well, I'll hold all comments till the end, until we discuss it, but that's, well, I'll start. Let me just say, just like last time, I have concern about this being a precedent. We've had employers in the past request. I think it was Rodeo Hercules requested essentially to have their unfunded liability accounted for in a different way as a cash, and the board approved that. But there was no additional cost, and there was no impact to other employers at that time. Again, I'm just concerned about the precedent. Regarding this in terms of requesting this, and then there's mention, and the Chief Helmick has indicated that there's no indication that they're going to request a repool, But if, you know, is that an option, or is this essentially a one-way request, or would we ever even entertain that? I'm concerned also that this is even in a conversation regarding repooling, because it just seems like we're swinging back and, you know, potential for swinging back and forth at the, you know, whatever's best for the employer. And I know Jerry Holcomb last time expressed this concern regarding setting up this precedent. I have that same concern as well. I do have a question for either Andy or for Gail. When we did decide on the 50 being the number of employees, is that set in a policy? And if the board makes any change today, do we need to address that to somehow modify that? Or are we going to be violating any, you know, funding policy or anything like that?
Andy?
Yeah, my recollection is that the number of 50 was included in the board's actuarial funding policy. So certainly, if the board decides today to go ahead with the depooling concept, we certainly recommend looking at the actuarial funding policy to make sure that the board's action, that the funding policy is updated to reflect the board's action.
Understood.
And actually, we did take a look at the actual funding policy to see if there was any modifications that we need to be made. And there is a reference in there about how the safety members of the two employers are grouped together. So we would need to edit that language, but there isn't, I don't think that there was any additional language. There would be some slight modification in the policy, but I think that it was just to that extent.
If I may, this is Karen Levy, General Counsel. Direct the board in response to Will's question to Siegel's slide number 30 at the top. It does address the funding policy and that it describes procedures for the depooling action taken, and that it includes the threshold that employers with 50 or more active employees would be depooled.
Thank you, Karen.
Todd, last comment, Will Pigeon, for right now, anyways, is, you know, I don't know what the direction of the board's going to be or the decision on the board, but I'll save comments till later. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. Any other trustee comments or questions at this time?
Scott, this is Rusty. If I can have everybody look at page 9 of the Siegel presentation. The word precedence was brought up earlier. I'm wondering if there's not another precedence here we should address. Of all the rules or cost groups we have, are there any others that even come near to looking like the one we have here in this cost group, number 8, where the larger employer is being subsidized by the smaller employer, okay? For reasons explained on page 9, because the large employer has a larger liability, many more retirees than the smaller employer has. And consequently, over time, the small employers have been subsidizing a larger employer as a result of this disparity here. And then on page 8, I don't think it should be overlooked, the reason for deciding whether to go with a payroll method or the AAL method. Obviously, the reason should be out of fairness, whichever one we choose. But if you remember why we would go with the payroll is because all employers have similar proportion of active to retirees. Otherwise, if there is some disparity or difference, significant difference for that matter, then the AAL method would make more sense to follow. And again, back to page 9, there's your proof there of whether or not these two employers pulled together for whatever reason before are very different and their makeup, as far as, especially in the case of active to inactive or active to retirees. And as a result of that, again, And this is, I understand these buyers' concern. They've had to pay the big guy significant amount of money, which they could use otherwise to survive in their business of servicing their own district. So I want to point out that there's another precedence here that we should be looking at, and that is whether or not in any other cost group, we have a larger employer being subsidized by a small employer for these reasons, because of this disparity between the liability or the active versus retiree ratio of these employers. So I'm going to throw that out for your consideration.
If I may, through the chair.
Yes, go ahead, Andy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chairman. I think we tried to answer this question last time. Again, I'm going to try that again. It's not going to be a satisfactory answer, by the way, because as a cost-sharing, a multiple employer plan, the moment the board decides to do a pooling of the experience for the different employers, that's the point in time when we actually don't try to check and report back to the board on the routine basis anyway, how many active employees we have with each employer and how many retirees are from that particular employer. So I think if we need to answer the question whether or not that could set any good or bad precedents going forward, then we would really have to look into, in particular for cost group number one and two, where there are quite a few employers, and try to figure out whether or not the ratio of the number of active and the number of retirees and number of other inactive members in from each and every employers would be somewhat disproportional to the payroll. But that's really something, some kind of information, very good to have. But unfortunately, that's not the kind of information that we routinely look into, because that's not necessary for the rate setting process.
Thank you, Andy. Any other trustee comments? Okay, I'll state my feelings on this item. So
Todd, there is a hand up too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Dr.
McDonald. Hi. No, I just wanted to say I appreciate Rusty's comments. That's how I'm feeling also. So thank you, Rusty, for articulating that.
And any other trustee hands up? Okay. I'm not seeing any now, but go ahead, John. Yes, please.
As a quick jump in, now what was my point? The answer I thought we got 2 weeks ago, Andy might also jump in, was no, that there were no other fact patterns that were similar to group eight. That is a large group, one large group, one small group subsidizing large group. What you just described, I think, are a whole series of small groups where there could be, and it's in fact always are, cross subsidies. And it's not clear, we don't have the information at this point to know what those cross subsidies between small group one and small group four might be. But the fact pattern that we're looking at, as I got it 2 weeks ago, is unique to our plan.
If I may, through you, Chair. Yeah, so I think Trustee Phillips is right, that besides CONFI and DSFI in cost group number eight, I don't believe that there are any other cost group where there are just two employers, one big and one small. But it is true that last time we also talked about for cost group one and two, there could be a collection of smaller employers besides the bigger employers. So thank you for the clarification.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, my thoughts on this matter is East Fire was very close to being its own cost center back in 2009. I pulled some old information, and at one point they had 51 safety members. When the depooling actually happened, they may have been just under, and they were then put with CONFIRE. I was sitting in the audience, but I don't recall the conversation exactly. But East Fire is larger than a lot of our other cost centers. You know, we have, you know, Rodeo Hercules, because they are not an enhanced plan, they needed to be their own. And East Fire, I believe, is larger than them. We have some other small districts that are bundled together. Again, I believe the main reason is because they're not enhanced programs. So for me, as a trustee of this plan, and I don't have any other stake in this. I don't live in East County. I guess I do live in Confire, but I'm not a firefighter. I don't serve on any of their boards. So I'm purely looking at this with a trustee hat. So for me, I would want to know that East Fire could withstand, you know, if there was an unfortunate event where, you know, they had a unexpected rise in disabilities, could they withstand the rate fluctuation based on that? And I believe at nearly 40, which is, and I'm going off of what our actuary said, CalPERS groups you if you're 25 or more. So they're significantly over that, significantly larger than some of our others. And I think with that population, they should be able to withstand that. So that's my main concern. I don't want there to, you know, to be a point where other employers are having to pay for East Fire's retirees because of, you know, just ultimate dire finances. But that said, I'm not really looking at this as a little guy, big guy. I appreciate the mechanics of, you know, mutual aid and the stresses that may be incurred by Confire with the disproportionate number of aid. But again, that doesn't fall on me in a trustee realm. I'm very sensitive. I understand it, and I understand why it would be important to the two fire districts, but it doesn't really pertain to me. And what we have here is a demographic mismatch of large proportions. I'm not going to be flippant and say that Confire can absorb this and East County needs this. I'm looking at it as this is a demographic mismatch that doesn't look like it's going to change in the near future. There's talk of what they're giving a five-year pledge. Well, they can always ask, I'm going to remember this conversation. Should I be on the board if that day ever passes? We'll have a record. So I've specifically asked Siegel last time, you know, when it comes to the two methodologies, payroll or liabilities, Paul pretty much said, you know, doing it on liabilities would be the most equitable. And to me, that's my goal, is to be equitable to all of our plan sponsors. Yes, there might be some winners or losers, you know, if you want to sum it up that way. But I'm looking at it, this seems like a mismatch. We have a tool to correct that, and I think it's reasonable to exercise that tool. So that's my comments on the situation. So before I turn it over to items B and C, is there any other trustee comments or questions at this time? Okay, seeing none.
I'm sorry, Todd.
Yes,
one,
John.
Just one quick add-on. We've been focusing on percent of payroll as a plan cost and spiking. Should payroll go down for any reason, closing one of the three firehouses, for example, and that would be very difficult for East County to East Fire to maintain. If we were to think about it as a liability amortization rather than amortizing it through percent of payroll and establishing it as a, which by the way, our policy doesn't provide for, so this is hypothetical. But if we were to set it up as you would a home mortgage and not relate it to payroll, that is the amortization of the unfunded debt service liability, you wouldn't then go back and say, well, if we reduce the payroll, that gives them a spike. you would just recognize it as one more liability that they incur because it is their employees who are retired and whose pension is not yet fully funded. Just to put that in some perspective, that there are two ways that I think you can look at how to amortize that unfunded liability. We only provide for one in our policy, and that's what we're talking about. But describing it as something that is unreasonable or unfair, I have trouble accepting.
Thank you, John. Okay, one last call for trustee comments. Okay, seeing none, I'm going to take up item 6B, comments from East Fire. And I'll ask the chiefs, both chiefs. We definitely, all the trustees were present 2 weeks ago. So we do recall your statements. Hopefully in your summation, you can address some of the questions that trustees have posed during our open discussion. So with that, I'll ask Chief Helmick to take the floor and present your final comments to the board.
Good morning, Chair. Can you hear me?
I can, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Well, good morning, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I will address all the questions that were raised by the other board members. Prior to doing so, I want to really start by highlighting something that kind of started being illuminated last meeting, and in between last meeting till today, it has me mildly concerned that I just want to clear the record, and I want to make sure we focus on the right things here today. I want to make it very clear that this is not an East Contra Costa versus Con Fire issue. In addition, I want to make it very clear that I personally and professionally have much respect for Fire Chief Richard, his senior staff, and all the personnel that wear a Con Fire patch. Many people may not know, but I've worked on the line for over two decades with many of those members working in East Contra Costa or Battalion 5, and I have great professional respect operationally and administratively for Con Fire. Today, it is really not a Con versus East. And as was stated by a previous board member, I think it's very important that we narrow the conversation to Cesera's policies and how the policies were set up to establish cost group 8 and how there were, not known at the time, but unintended consequences on how the policies were set up over the years that the fire district has brought to Cesera with the goal to be able to correct. So this is, as was stated by another member, very much a policy and an equity issue. It has nothing to do about our operations. It has nothing to do about us versus them, because they are our partners. Those are my colleagues, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, and we work very well together in many capacities outside of this topic. But today with this board and this topic, it's very much about our district's pension obligations and the inequities that were set up. Furthermore, our requested pool is based on the liability method is a very simple way for us to be able to establish control over our future while returning East Contra Costa and Con Fire back to the respective asset liabilities of 2002. It really corrects the record in the manner of which we're asking. As I previously explained to this board in my verbal and written remarks, depooling utilizing the liability method ends the historical situation where East Contra Costa Fire has cross-subsidized Con Fire. And it recognizes that that going forward, our pension liabilities will be based on the unique demographics of East Contra Costa and Con Fire, viewed separately and with decisions being controlled by their own respective boards. Cesera's own actuary consultant has advised in its report, and also through Mr. Angelo's comments, that the liability method is the only method that returns East Contra Costa and Con Fire back to their original positions. And so our request to stand on our own is based on a desire to control our own future. And I think it's important at this time also to be able to remind the Cesera board of not only the district's history, but also who we really are. And I think I'll be able to address many of the questions that were raised in doing so. So just for clarity, the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District is an independent special district with now an elected board of five. And we serve the cities of Brentwood, Oakley, and the unincorporated areas of Knighton, Bethel Island, Discovery Bay, Fire and Marsh Creek, and Morgan Territory. It's a footprint that covers 250 square miles. We serve 128,000 residents that swell to 155 people within our jurisdiction. We take into consideration those that work within our communities. We run 7,700 calls per year out of three fire stations. There are many studies that show we should have no less than six fire stations today. So we have nine firefighters on every day out of three stations, and we should have no less than six fire stations with 18 firefighters on per day. We have a huge revenue deficit. And the decision that we're making here today will provide additional revenue into our fire district. To address Candace's questions, this will help us get close to half of one or four stations that be coming into our system. I think the bigger challenge that we have is not only does it bring additional revenue into the district, but there are many people within our communities that are very aware of the fire district's pension obligations. And the reason why myself, board members, firefighters have been so actively engaged on trying to understand how we got pooled and what our pension obligations were is there are many members that know that today East Contra Costa Fire contributes approximately 119% towards our pension obligations for active payroll. And if this were to be changed, it would go to 79% of active payroll. You see, we continue to try to communicate to our communities that we have deficit issues and we need new revenue. And we have been repeatedly told you do not have a revenue issue. You have a pension issue. And you need to get your pension obligations out of control because they believe that East Contra Costa firefighters are receiving a greater benefit in their pensions than all other agencies in Contra Costa County, although we know they receive the same. But they pay tremendously more than the district does in our contributions because of the inequities that we're trying to address here today. In regards to the questions and concerns, in regards to who we are and our funding challenges and where we are very intentionally asking to be depooled. And we have put mechanisms in place for pension and or revenue fluctuations. As the board member Pigeon had asked about our pension rate stabilization plan, that is there to be able to address any economic downturns and or pension obligation requirements upon the district. We started investing into that some time ago to be able to address economic downturns to make sure that we can take care of our pension obligations to ensure that we didn't have to impact our ongoing operational budget and we'd only use it on economic downturns and or situations where our liabilities increased. Today, we have $2.5 million sitting in an account and we're investing $750,000 a year into it. Furthermore, I think it's also important to note about the repooling concept. We never stated we'd ever entertain repooling. We are sustainable at three stations for the next 10 years of the revenues that we have. With additional revenues, the district will only grow. If additional revenues do not come into the district, we are sustainable at three stations. We have a pension rate stabilization plan if there are any economic downturns that come into the organization. Just to put it in clarity, the only reason the repooling conversation ever came up, if you were to go back and look onto the record in the very first meeting, there were concerns with the SARA board that what if we desired to come back? And that was through board discussion, not district recommendation. When it was discussed amongst the board, this is SARA board, there were members that recommended that we need to guard ourselves and we would need to prevent and potentially create policy so the district would not come back in no less than 5 years. And we stated we would accommodate their request. We respect their request. We have no intention of repooling with any other agency. And I think we've also addressed clearly that this situation is very unique among all cost pools, and that we are not setting a precedence here. We're just correcting the record. So it's not only monetarily the revenue that's coming into the district, which will get us closer to a fourth station in this district, a third, if not half of what we need to be able to open a fourth station in our district, but is also correcting and is also demonstrating that our new elected board is doing their fiduciary responsibility, kicking over every rock, correcting things historically that were done independently of us, making it right to show we are an agency that is not only running the district well, it has our members at hand, and that it is a organization, a public safety organization people can invest in. So it is more than the monetary, it's also the optics, because people see what we're observing here today, and it looks like we are not doing our job. And until we correct that, people do not want to consider investing into the district. Also, in regards to the history in 2009, when Cicero depooled its employers and East Contra Costa was forced into Cost Group 8, we had zero control over that. We had no independent fire board. As history will show, at that time, we were overseen and controlled by the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors. They were the governors, which made the decisions for us. It was not until February 2010, after Cicero depooled, that East Contra Costa Fire gained the right to have its own appointed board of directors. And it wasn't really until 2018, almost 19, where we were able to obtain the right to control our own destiny through an independent elected board of directors. It is our current independent board that represents us in making this request to you today. Our fire board represents our customers, our citizens, our firefighters, and they also drive the goals and aspirations of East Contra Costa Fire's future financial health and expanded service delivery through increased public education, how we correct these issues, what we've done, and adding additional fire stations, and ultimately adding and increasing firefighters to better serve our communities. Any fair reading of the Siegel report compels the conclusion that depooling due to liability method is the most equitable way to separate East Contra Costa from Contra Costa. We ask that you vote today, immediately, to reflect to December 31 of 2019. The vote here today will start to allow our district and the people that are most impacted by our services and our finances to continue to move forward with the ability to control our future decisions. To conclude, there is no precedent being made here. Consolidation, future consolidation conversations will not be negatively impacted by making this decision. I also want to know that I know this conversation has been very heavy, and I know it's taken a good amount of time for the board to process the information related to the depooling conversation. The fire district is working on this since I came through the door in April 2017. That's how important it is to us. I was mildly disappointed this decision was delayed last meeting, but in hindsight, I actually appreciate the pause because of the gravity of the decisions that are being made here today and understanding how we arrived here, what the right thing to do is, and what the impacts are of the fire district. And I thank you for letting me be a part of that conversation. So on behalf of the fire district's board, our firefighters, and our citizens, I thank you individually and collectively as a board for taking the time to invest into this topic to be able to make the right decision here today. That concludes my comments. I'm available to all of you if there are any questions, and I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Okay, I'll now move to item 6C, comments from Contra Costa Fire Protection District. Chief Bouchard, you have the floor.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I don't really have a lot of comments. I would echo what Chief Helmick said in the beginning of his commentary that This is difficult for two organizations, two fire chiefs that work very closely together on a very frequent, if not daily basis, to be on opposite sides of an issue. So I appreciate the deliberation that the board has taken and the time to digest all the information and make the most appropriate decision. The only real comments that I have at this point would be the fire district has done a very good job of controlling the expenditures and the expenses that we have control over. What happens with decisions that are made by this body, the fire district does not have control over. So depooling historically has financially impacted the fire district, and if depooling occurs today, it will financially impact the fire district. It sounds like Chief Helmick is amenable to some policy changes or supporting something to that effect at CICERA to potentially help solidify the repooling issue. Because if, and nobody wants this to occur, and hopefully it would never occur, if there was some economic crisis that fell upon East County Fire and there was a request to repool, I believe that would again have negative impacts to Con Fire. So I would ask that the board consider some method of a policy regarding repooling requests, if in fact the action is to depool today. So with that, those are my only comments. Again, I appreciate the time and deliberation that you've all taken on this important issue, and am here to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I'm going to ask Christina, is there any public comments for this item?
Yes, we do have someone who is on the line that would like to speak, Mr. Joe Young.
Mr. Young, are you on the line? Oh, I see your mic's lit up. Mr. Young, you may present your public comments.
Thank you very much. Just for the sake of identification, I am one of the directors for the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. I also have been on a retirement board and the president of a retirement board, not this one, for 10 years in the past, and have a lot of insight into the issues you're you are trying to reconcile today. And I want to thank you for your time and consideration. One thing I would like to point out, since there was some concern about the district's size diminishing, in reality, the district's long-term plan will be to increase in size. And we have put specific measures into place in the form of a new impact fee that will be applied to all new development to assure the construction and equipping of three new stations in the future to serve that new development. And we are in the process of negotiating a CFD district-wide for all new development that will assure funds to operate those three new stations. Neither of those actions address our current deficit of three stations, which we must handle in a different way. But the point here is that when you look at the district and it grows by adding staff, doubling possibly very soon if we're successful in adding the three stations we need now, that is going to significantly amplify the demographic mismatch. Because when you bring in a large number of new active employees, that ratio of retirees to actives is going to change to the disadvantage of the pooled situation. So again, I just wanted to bring that, make people aware that regardless of what happens, the district has put things in place that it will grow over time to take care of the concerns regarding economic impacts or future things. But that growth, and especially if we have the newer short-term growth, will significantly amplify the mismatch in demographics that we have here and we're trying to correct. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. Appreciate that and your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Christina, are there any other requests for public comment?
Not at this time.
Thank you. So with that, I'll open the floor to either discussion or a motion. Scott, I see your mic on.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm prepared to move at this time. I'm going to move that we approve the request of East Contra Costa Fire Protection District to depool from Cost Group 8, and that we do so based on the actuarial accrued liability method, and that we do it as effective as the December 31, 2019 valuation. That is my motion.
Second.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Seconded by John. Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. Hearing none.
I wanted to make one comment because I am going to be.
I'm sorry.
No, I had my hand up, but it's hard with a screen this big to see everybody. So, no, I just wanted to make one comment.
I never know if you were just getting ready for the roll call because you're first. So my apologies. Go ahead.
Getting ready for the roll call. No, I just want to explain, again, wearing my Cicera hat, I am supporting this motion. But I do want to explain, since I do chair Confire, and I think it's important to explain to my Confire board why I think this is an important move. I value, as we've all seen, you know, in these last 2 weeks, the importance of our entire structure of fire districts throughout the state of California, our auto aid, our mutual aid, and from a Confire standpoint, having East County Fire in a strengthened position is only going to help us. I also am looking at it from the equity standpoint. I think there was some subsidization, you know, going on with regard to it. And so the fact that we will be in a little bit more of a constricted budget going forward, wearing my Confire hat, I think it's appropriate and equitable given the circumstances. So that's my explanation for why I am supporting the motion.
Thank you, Candace. Will?
Yeah, Todd, as everyone knows, I'm employed by Contra Costa County Fire as an assistant fire chief, and I have no financial benefit with today's decision. Also, for the record, I'm not voting on this item as we have all of our primary board members present. I'm just interested, you know, in my comments and my questions, I'm just interested in a fair decision. And I see the inequities in terms of liabilities that have gone towards East Contra Costa based off the demographics essentially just being mismatched, as you used, Todd, earlier. So to Todd's point earlier about, you know, this being on the previously was on the bubble that Siegel mentioned, and then Todd mentioned, you know, looking back that the number of employees were at approximately 50, 51 previously in history. You know, I do support the depooling and trying to maintain that fairness in terms of the liabilities between the two employers. However, I just want to point out, and it's been mentioned in the letter from Gail, and I think it was also previously mentioned in the letter by the fire chief, that there was a request made in terms of the timing. And I just want to point out, and again, I'm trying to be fair, you have an employer, East Contra Costa, requesting depooling, and we have another employer, Contra Costa, opposing the depooling. So I just ask if the board would so entertain making a substitute motion in terms of the timing to ultimately somewhat compromise between the two employers in terms of the timing.
Thank you, Will. Rusty, I see your mic, and then John.
Yeah, I was just going to mention I would also support the motion that's been made already, and also ask if at some point staff would look at again, the policies affected by this decision today. I'm wondering if there should be some concern where in any cost group, there is an employer whose pension liability has matured, so to speak, where there are more retirees than there are active members of that employer. And if there's some concern, we should address there, especially if that employer is part of a cost group that might affect other employers in the same group. So I would ask the staff to consider, again, when they look at the policies that have been affected by this today, to also look at whether there should be some consideration with employers that are maturing, again, meaning that there are more retirees than actives, and how should they be addressed in any cost group.
Thank you, Rusty. Hey. So I'm John, then Jerry.
Having this 2 weeks to reflect on this has been certainly helpful to me. What I've really come down on, and the reason for my support for the motion, is that East County has been subsidizing, I believe, Confire for all 11 years. We that information wasn't specific to Siegel's reporting, but I think the likelihood is very high that they've been doing that. To continue that subsidy inequitably to East Fire for 1, 2, 3 more years, as was part of their earlier request, I just feel is unreasonable. So I'm personally supporting the decision that we are considering right now to become effective with the current valuation and move forward from this point.
Thank you, John. Jerry, you had your mic open before.
I don't want to create a parliamentary problem here. I intend to support the original motion that was made, but I wonder whether or not the motion maker would consider an amendment to at least include some reference to the five-year limitation on future requests. I accept the chief's assurances, but I'm not certain to what extent his letter carries the weight of the East County Board for the next 5 years, with all due respect. And so I'd like to know whether or not we can modify that slightly. And so ask the motion maker's consideration for adding that as a condition.
Scott, you made the motion, if you want to address that.
Yeah, I guess the concern I have, Jerry, is that, I guess to use the phrase, we control the controllables, whether and to what extent there needed to be a request 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years hence, based on unknown or unforeseen circumstances, is hard to judge today. So I'm reticent to want to put a limitation on it, because I think ultimately if something transpired that necessitated a request like that, we'd have to consider it. I don't know how we couldn't, frankly, if there were a circumstance presented that required us to do so. So I'm a little leery of going there in terms of putting a finite line and saying within this period you can't make a request, because ultimately it's up to us to figure out what's best for the fund, right? That's driving all of our decisions. So to me, the health of the fund is paramount. I know it is for all of you. So I'm reticent to put that line in there. I think East County probably understands the sentiments based on all of the discussion we've had today, as well as 2 weeks ago, about potential concerns here, about the health of the district, about what the future holds, the what ifs that we're all grappling with. But it would be my preference, Jerry, to not do that for those reasons.
Just one last thought on that, if I could, then, and this is not intended to be any disrespect to Chief Helmick, but the assurance that in his letter, I think is genuine. I think he means it. I think he would intend to honor that. The district would intend to honor it. But without something a little bit firmer, to me, it's too illusory. It's simply a letter that says this is what we mean to do. And again, no disrespect meant to the chief, but I'd just like to see it nailed down a little tighter. But that's my final comment.
Thank you, Jerry. Any other comments before I call for a vote? Okay, seeing none, we'll now proceed to a roll call vote. Anderson.
Aye.
Finley.
Aye.
Gordon.
Aye.
Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
Smithy. Aye. And Watts?
Aye.
Motion passes 9-0. My thanks to both chiefs and all those involved in this this very difficult item. And we're reminded, unfortunately, annually how important our firefighters are. So thank you all for your service.